Hi, I'm Michael Feinstein, and this is the Song Travels Podcast. Each week on Song Travels, my guest and I share an hour of conversation and music. The Song Travels Podcast features some of my favorite moments from the interview. To listen to full episodes online, visit npr.org, and for more podcasts, subscribe at itunes.com/songtravels.
To support the series, join the Friends of Song Travels. More information on our Facebook page at facebook.com/songtravels.
Hi, I'm Michael Feinstein. My guest today is jazz vocalist and actress, Dee Dee Bridgewater. She played Glinda the Good Witch in The Wiz on Broadway and won a Tony Award in 1975. She went on to perform in shows including Sophisticated Ladies, Cabaret, and the West End and more recently off-Broadway productions of Lady Day. Her jazz credits include lead vocalist for the Thad Jones Mel Lewis Orchestra, two 1998 Grammy Awards for her album Dear Ella, and a third Grammy for Eleonora Fagan to Billy with Love from Dee Dee. She has worked with jazz greats such as Dizzy Gillespie, Sonny Rollins, Horace Silver, and Ray Charles. Host of her own NPR program, Jazz Set with Dee Dee Bridgewater, it's a great pleasure to have her here in the studio today. Dee Dee Bridgewater, welcome to Song Travels.
Thank you, Michael Feinstein, and it sure is fine to see you.
I have to say that every time I'm in your presence, there's something about your energy or your aura that just makes me feel happy. Are you as happy as you seem?
I'm pretty happy. You know, I have some down periods. I'm kind of coming out of a down period right now from doing the show. And having that same routine every day and having to go to such deep emotional places every night, it's rather exhausting. Finding Billy, being Billie Holiday is very hard work. It's been good this time around from when I did the show back in 87 in the West End in London at the Piccadilly. I did not allow Billy to take over. I invited her in to share my body, but I told her she couldn't take over. Mm-hmm. I did have one show right after we opened, and I literally, and maybe your listeners might find me a little crazy, but I felt her spirit trying to come in when I was singing Strange Fruit. I felt this presence, like trying to take my body, and I said, "No, you cannot." So that was very conscious on my part. Whereas when I did it the first time, I didn't have the experience that I now have. So she took over, and to the point that I was getting fan mail addressed to Billie Holiday.
Oh my Lord!
yeah. So,
well, I'd like to get into some music,
okay,
so people can hear how you channel her or approximate her.
Yeah, channel, I think is good. Approximate, I like that. I like that word.
Well, because it's you, but it also is very much her. I say that because sitting down the aisle from me was Irvin Drake, who co-wrote Good Morning Heartache. And at one point during the first act, he turned to me with this very startled expression, and he said, "That's Billy." And that is the highest praise or the best thing that you could hope for.
You know, this woman I've had a kind of relationship with since I was, I think, 19. That's when I bought Lady Sings Blues. And I just reread the book 2 weeks ago. I just needed to be reminded of a lot of the things that she did.
Well, since we were talking about Irvin Drake, I think it'd be great to listen to you sing Good Morning Heartache.
Yes.
So you're going to do that live with your wonderful accompanist from the show, Bill Jolly.
Bill Jolly, who's also our musical director.
Yes, he's fantastic.
Yes. Good morning, heartache, you all gloomy sight. Good morning, heartache, thought we said goodbye last night. I turned and tossed
lost until it seemed you'd gone. But here you are with the dawn.
That's Good Morning Heartache, performed by our guest, Dee Dee Bridgewater.
Well, so, you know, I decided to kind of go more into my voice on this one, as you heard, because I just needed to have that little moment.
Well, absolutely. And one of the things I was going to ask you about is the difference between the way you would sing it and the way Billy would sing it, and how do you create her?
Oh, that's a very good question, Michael. You know, she has a particular way of phrasing, and I've listened to her enough now over the years that I think I could probably just do any song. I could take a song and sing it the way I imagine that she would do it. It's hard for me to explain this process that I've come up with. Like, she has a way of pronouncing words. Let's see. Good morning, heartache. Here we go again. I can't do it. See, I have to just be in the moment.
You have to be in the moment.
I have to really be in the moment. But also, you know, listening to her talk, too. She has a certain way that she does her B's and her P's and her D's that I've tried to work with. And what I also have done is periodically, since I've been doing the show, go back and listen to some of the songs that I'm doing so that I don't get too far away from the way that she recorded these songs, you know. But the actual process of how I got to that voice, I can't even begin to explain because I don't understand it myself.
Loverman, that's a song that can only be associated in my mind to Billie Holiday.
Yes, me too. And there are many nights when I perform the song, even though that's in the first act and it's a rehearsal, people just explode into applause as soon as I start it. Mm. You know, so it's definitely one of her signature pieces.
Well, I think that's a perfect segue to asking you to sing it.
Okay. We'll do it.
Loverman, performed by our guest, Dee Dee Bridgewater.
I don't know why, but I'm feeling so sad. I long to try something I never had. Never had no kissing. Oh, what I've been missing. Love a man, nowhere can you be.
Boy, that's great. Dee Dee Bridgewater.
Thanks.
I'd love for you to sing another song that Billy sang. And this one, A Foggy Day, is one that she sang through her whole career. So when you do a number like this, do you pick a period of Billy's life? Or is it I know I'm intellectualizing it, which is death to music.
No, it's not.
But I'm curious about approaching a song that she sang for so many years.
Yeah. Well, you know, the play itself is supposed to be in 54. Takes place in 54 when she did do that the first tour of Europe.
Yes, explain if you will the real life reason she went to London to.
Well, she went to Europe and did this tour because her cabaret card had been taken away from her and she couldn't sing in New York City, and as New York had become her home, that was just death for her. Mm-hmm. So. This tour was organized so that she could have some income, and also there was a demand for her. She was quite, by various accounts that I've read, she was very excited about doing this tour and going to Europe. But of course, London being London, they told some stories about, you know, her drug issues, and they just kind of dredged up stuff that she didn't know if that had been done in the rest of Europe, you know. But so she was quite concerned about how she was going to go over in London. Of course, she was a huge success, and then she went back to London actually a few months before she died in 1959.
Well, let's listen to A Foggy Day.
A foggy day in London town. It had me low. it had me down. I viewed the morning with alarm. The British Museum had lost its charm. How long, I wondered, could it last? But the age of miracles hadn't passed. Then suddenly I saw you standing there, and through foggy London town the sun was shining everywhere.
You've been listening to the Song Travels Podcast. To stream the full hour of this program, visit npr.org, and thank you for listening. I'm Michael Feinstein, host of Song Travels. To support this series, join the Friends of Song Travels. You can find more information on our Facebook page at facebook.com/songtravels.